Welcome to Dynasty Life. I'm Theo Greminger. Redraft ends, but Dynasty is life. And I'm joined now by Ian Miller. And I believe this is Ian's third time in the chair on Dynasty Life here. So I'm starting to like, the show's getting a lot of shows in. I'm starting to bring back guests multiple times. Jax Falcone recently on three times. Ian three times in Dynasty Life chair. You know, you've seen Ian a lot this offseason right here on Player Profiler. Maddie Kiwim and I had Ian on Future Cast, I believe twice. And in Dynasty Life, we've been chopping it up on the 2024 rookies. And I feel like a lot of the podcasts you're probably listening to now, Dynasty related, are 2024 rookie focused. And then you're seeing a lot of NFL free agency like aftermath podcasts. Those are great. I've done those. But we're taking a brief hiatus here on Dynasty Life. My most recent show with Jax Falcone, we talked about Dynasty startup rankings and strategy. This is the first one today of a series of positional ranking shows. I'm bringing in some people that I highly respect, and we're just going to chop it up, and we're going to try to rank people together. A combination rankings of Ian Miller's and myself, and we're going to dive into the quarterback position. How are you doing today, Ian? Welcome back into the hot seat. Well, not really a hot seat, but a relatively hot seat, because I'm going to put you on pressure. We're not doing tiers today. We're actually ranking.
Yeah, excited to be here for a third time. I mean, that feels pretty awesome. Up there with the elite of Dynasty Life. But no, this show sheet's pretty awesome. Excited to get into a little quarterback talk here.
Yeah, so before we dive into the rankings, and first of all, we're going to use the Underdog platform to rank. And some people are going to say, yo, Theo, that's best ball. But it's a very cool looking site. If you're ever trying to form your own rankings, just going through on the mental process, I love using that one. Just because it's very clear, very concise. It's kind of ranked with current ADP. So we're going to bounce around with that. But before we do that, let's talk about a couple of polarizing quarterbacks. And I think that if we were doing this show 1 year ago, if I brought up Justin Herbert as a polarizing player in the Dynasty community, you'd laugh in my face. But a lot of things have changed here. Last year, Justin Herbert starts off the year extremely well, tails off a little bit, not his fault. There was a lot of injuries throughout Los Angeles and a lot of, you know, generally kind of negative vibes with that whole team. The Brandon Staley era is over now, but Kellen Moore leaves. Kellen Moore is now on his way. Not on his way. He's in Philadelphia as the offensive coordinator. And Justin Herbert, since the offseason has started, has lost Austin Eckler to Washington, a guy that regressed last year, Ian, but still caught a ton of passes over the last few years for Herbert. Then he loses Mike Williams. Mike Williams is now a New York Jet. And then Keenan Allen, which is the one that I thought was just crazy that they would move on from Keenan Allen, considering that they only got a fourth-round pick. But this is the Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman era. This is a we want to run the football, we want to play good defense type mentality of the coaching staff with one of the more talented quarterbacks in football. How capped is Justin Herbert's ceiling in this offense? How concerned are you? And am I just like, chill out, Theo, everything's going to be fine?
I would say that it's honestly going to be fine. I mean, we're talking about premier elite talents here. And you do bring up a good point with Justin Herbert, and that basically since he entered the NFL, we've seen this guy in a high volume passing offense basically every single season. And the guy's torched the league through the air. I mean, in his first two seasons, he was over 22 points per game just as a passer, and obviously passing volume helps that. But as you alluded to, he kind of met a combination of things that switched up what we've seen in his recent situations. He added Harbaugh and Greg Roman, who aren't guys who are known for passing with high volume. I mean, even when Jim Harbaugh had Andrew Luck, they were nowhere near the top of the pecking order in passing volume. So we shouldn't be expecting that. And the other thing was running into cap concerns. You know, then you end up getting rid of Keenan Allen for a pretty cheap price so that you don't have to pay him, cutting Mike Williams. Now, I think that there will be some weapons brought in, and Justin Herbert is still premier talent. But the reason why you shouldn't worry about Justin Herbert, if his value was the exact same it was, let's say a month ago, you and me might be more on the same page of, you know, there's these things going on. Justin Herbert is still one of the most expensive assets in all of Dynasty. And there's a few things that changed his situation. Maybe it's a good time to get out. The thing here is that consensus has seen what has happened with Justin Herbert. And among all top 50 valued players on Keep Trade Cut, there hasn't been a player to lose more value in the past month than Justin Herbert, who's lost 6.4% value since last month. So consensus is all over this. And once you start losing that kind of value, then it just becomes, okay, now that we're losing value, is this profile so talented? Can it still put up elite production? And the answer is yes. I mean, when we talk about guys who put up multiple 24-point-per-game seasons in their first 4 years, we're only talking about Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. And now Justin Herbert is clearly the cheapest among all of them. And the other thing in the wrinkle of Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh coming in is it's not that Justin Herbert's been a non-rusher. In fact, his rookie year, he was at 3.6 rushing points per game, which is a pretty solid number. 3.1 this last year. And you'd have to imagine if they're going to run the ball more, then they're probably going to run it with Justin Herbert more than he has, considering he has the build for it. He's shown that he can handle at least a scrambling type workload as a rusher, as a quarterback. So he's still an elite passer, as we know. He's been a premier talent and continues to be. And he's likely going to rush more this season, which could negate some of that passing production that you lose to volume. And with him being cheaper, I think he's a pretty solid buy at this point.
Yeah, I would agree on the buy. But I do think it's you have to put it in context per leagues, because I think there's certain people that are going to share my apprehension about the offense, about the weapons, about the new coaching staff. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want very, very talented players on our dynasty rosters. We have Justin Herbert at quarterback 8 overall in our dynasty rankings at Player Profiler. I think that's pretty much about where most people have him. I think that you can have an argument about like Justin Herbert versus Anthony Richardson. I would lean Anthony Richardson. You know, Joe Burrow, he's usually talked about in that sort of tier. You also have the kind of the perfect storm of Caleb Williams is on the way. We're going to touch on those rookies as well, but Justin Herbert went 8 overall in a dynasty startup that I'm currently in. I felt like that was okay. In the show I did with Jax Falcone, we ended up taking Justin Herbert after the elite group of wide receivers. And let me pose that to you. Let's say this is a super flex dynasty startup. Do you think that the edge for your team is found in drafting a Justin Herbert, or would you consider a Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase level wide receiver ahead of Herbert? Just how you, just your kind of your personal preference for how you build your dynasty rosters in Superflex startups, Ian.
Yeah. And those three guys you mentioned absolutely belong about in the first round of dynasty startups. So, I mean, those are the premier crop of position, non-quarterback position players that, you know, you could actually make a decision that maybe take over Herbert. But in terms of building, I want that quarterback that I've seen and know is elite, because when I'm building a dynasty roster, quarterbacks are basically the stability, because there's no position other than quarterbacks that holds its value year over year as well as they do. So when you have a premier quarterback, you can basically add that as a staple to your roster. The other thing is that when we talk about wide receivers or quarterbacks, deeper in your startups, wide receivers have a higher likelihood, just in general, if we take the full position, have a higher likelihood of ending up with higher value or gaining such a value, you end up as a top 3 startup pick. So when you're comparing, you know, the 8th round of startups, the wide receivers compared to other wide receivers are going to be more lucrative than the quarterbacks that you can get in the 8th round compared to the quarterbacks earlier. It's more lucrative to get wide receivers later. So if I'm building a roster and I find myself in the 5th, 6th round needing a quarterback, well, the premier talent's fallen off, and you building your stability at a premium position is much harder now.
Yeah, I like how you talk about the round, putting it in context of trying to target these guys in specific rounds, because it's weird right now. Startup values, like you see these quarterbacks all go in the first and second round, like the very elite ones. Then you start trying to identify these values, and I feel like the market has pushed the rookies up, and the values are really found in the veterans. My favorite veteran dynasty startup target right now for Superflex is Jared Goff, who I think has the ability to put up a top 5 season next year. Everything's setting up well for him. The offense was already elite last year. We saw him finish as a QB1 easily. And Jameson Williams, his presence, his progression, the potential that Detroit uses a late first round pick on another wide receiver, which they're rumored to do so, and the presence of like Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, truly elite weapons in Detroit. Jared Goff would be my target in that sort of, you know, that QB2 range where you're not having to use a whole lot to get to fill out your QB2. Who are some guys that you're seeing as exceptional values in dynasty, current dynasty startup costs, Ian?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the first one, and that Jared Goff is an exceptional one because he's not old and he's going to put up production. And it's one of the cheapest spots that you can find a quarterback like that, because him and Kirk Cousins at this point are going pretty similar. Jared Goff's still going a little bit higher, but those are the guys that can give you high end production as a quarterback too. You're just getting cheaper due to age concerns or things like that. But Jared Goff doesn't have as much of the age concern. So you could stick him in your quarterback two slot and still get just fine and pretty great production. And I would say he's one of the last quarterbacks on the board where you can find that. But if we're talking about underrated, it may sound crazy to people to talk about a guy who's going in the second, maybe early third of a dynasty startup as being underrated, but that's Dak Prescott, who, again, when we talk about quarterbacks, they have longevity. He's still just 30 years old. And if you want to talk about, you know, you could stick him in quarterback two and get quarterback two production, they could stick him at quarterback two and get quarterback one production. It's almost like you said with Justin Jefferson. If you're taking Justin Jefferson round one, you'd almost be eyeing Dak Prescott in round two, so that you could still get quarterback one production in the second round. And it's not just quarterback one production. I mean, quarterbacks to post 24 points per game in two of the past three seasons, aside from Dak Prescott, is just Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. So you're getting elite level production in the second round due to age concerns. And he's not someone who relies on his legs. He's been one of the best passers in the leagues in the last 3 years. So you were essentially paying a quarterback two price in dynasties, not going in the top 12 quarterbacks. And you're getting a guy who has a pretty high likelihood of finishing top five, top three at the position in 2024.
I love the Dak call. And I was actually, I passed on Dak in this startup. This is like one of these wide receiver heavy tight end premium. I didn't want to get boxed out at wide receiver. But in retrospect, like you talked about, like for Dak to have the season he did last year and then be treated like this sort of in dynasty startup valuation is just a little bit weird, where some people have him right outside of like the QB1s. Some people have him as the low end QB1, but you're not seeing a whole lot of like argument for Dak Prescott to be ranked at like QB8. And he outscored a ton of these quarterbacks that we're talking about that are drafting ahead of him. They just happen to be a little bit younger than he is. And at the quarterback spot, we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks age very gracefully, play deep into their 30s. Look at the contract that Kirk Cousins just received. I mean, those kind of contracts are out there a lot. One quarterback who, when Jax and I were drafting our dynasty startup, which we did this super flex, you know, tight end premium PPR format, one guy who a lot of commenters were very angry about, saying that I'm disrespectful to, is Jordan Love. And I'm like, hey man, I got plenty of Jordan Love on my dynasty rosters, and we rank him right as like right about a QB1 in dynasty at player profiler, but I'm still getting a lot of pushback. And maybe these people are correct. Jordan Love is 25 years old, waited a long time to get his opportunity, and he ran with it. Finishes as QB5 overall last season. He did so with some of the youngest weapons in football, had all first and second year options at wide receiver and tight end, a lot of rookies, and a lot of injuries. Guys kept coming through the woodworks. Guys like Bo Melton, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft. By the end of the season, he was using backups and still producing at a high level. Goes in and wins against Dak Prescott in Dallas, throws for three touchdown passes in that game, then plays flawless for about three quarters against San Francisco. Has a lot of positive vibes right now. Is the community underrating Jordan Love? And kind of where does he fall in line for you, Ian?
I would say that Jordan Love right now is probably about properly rated. Now, if we had what he did last year in a bigger sample size, I would probably agree with you that he's underrated. I mean, we're talking about someone who was an awesome passer in his first season as a starter, throwing for over 18 passing points per game and had a passing touchdown rate above 5.5%, which when you talk about just fourth-year quarterbacks to do it, the list you get is only Mahomes, Allen, Watson, and Wilson. So he finds himself among pretty elite company in just the first year that he started. So if he were to do this again in year two, I would say, or his second year starter, where he is right now, I would agree with you. He's probably underrated. But if we do know one thing, especially about quarterbacks, is that a year-long sample can fluctuate a lot at the quarterback position. And this isn't to say that Jordan Love is anywhere near a sell. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's, if anything, like you said, underrated. But the only reason I hold back from saying he's truly underrated is because of the sample size. Because what he did last year was amazing. I mean, the guy basically came out of nowhere. No one was expecting this from Jordan Love, who sat behind Rodgers for all those seasons. And then we get an elite passing season. So I would lean more on the side that he's underrated versus overrated. But yeah, he's a plenty fine target where he's currently being drafted.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. At the end of the day, it's like we're not arguing that. It's like the argument between being drafted 20th overall and 27th overall in a startup, or, you know, it's like people want to pull hairs about that sort of thing. There's plenty of other ways to kind of amplify your dynasty startup than that area. First and second round in dynasty startups right now are pretty loaded in terms of talent, as they should be. And just your thoughts on the Josh Jacobs signing. This was a very interesting one because we saw Aaron Jones play outstanding football in the NFL playoffs. Josh Jacobs comes over. Do you view this as Green Bay saying we have a chance to get younger and maybe get a guy who could handle a little more rushing volume in Jacobs? Is this something where we could see the offense change a little bit, or is this more of just a, hey, we got younger and maybe a little bit better at running back? And no disrespect to the Aaron Jones people out there. I love Aaron Jones too, but Josh Jacobs was RB3 overall two seasons ago. He's never finished lower than, I believe, RB18 in any season of his career in terms of points per game.
Yeah, in terms of a team perspective from the Packers, what I would say is it came out that they wanted Aaron Jones to take a pay cut. And I'm sure if he takes a pay cut, then they likely don't have Josh Jacobs. But since he wasn't taking that pay cut, then I'm sure it was honestly not too tough of a decision for the front office to go, well, if we're going to pay Aaron Jones in full, I think we'd rather pay Josh Jacobs in full. So if we're taking both those guys and having to pay them around the same, we'd rather just take Josh Jacobs. So the preference seemed to be Aaron Jones on a pay cut, but that wasn't an option. From a fantasy football perspective, I love this for Josh Jacobs. Now, it makes it harder for me to buy because I thought Josh Jacobs was a buy coming into free agency. But even still, I think he's a bit of a buy despite a rising price. Because when we talk about Josh Jacobs, in terms of workload, he's been efficient with his workload. And in the last two seasons, he's posted above a 70% carry percentage. Also been just fine as a receiver, posting 10% target shares in each of the last three seasons. And on top of that, a lot of the things that people, when watching Aaron Jones as a fantasy owner, was, oh, get this guy goal line touches, get this goal line touches. Josh Jacobs comes in having a 70% plus rush TD market share, including a 99% rush TD market share just a year prior. And he takes this workload and solid efficiency from an offense last year in the Raiders that ranked 30th in rushing to a team in the Green Bay Packers that ranks in the top half of the league. So for Josh Jacobs, this is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, for Josh Jacobs, I agree. It's a huge win. And also, last year we saw the receptions kind of regress with the quarterback issues Las Vegas had. With Jordan Love, I think we can bet on Josh Jacobs returning to the 50-plus reception mark that we saw from him in 2021 and 2022. Underrated receiver out of the backfield, Jacobs was a guy that was not his MO, certainly coming into the league out of Alabama. And his first season in the league, not really anything, but he's really improved as a receiver. I think we could see 55 or so receptions. I think he's an RB1 this year in that potent Green Bay offense. Agree with you completely. Two quarterbacks who we've seen some changes to their teams, Will Levis and Bryce Young. We saw Will Levis with Brian Callahan now running the show in Tennessee. This was a coach who had great success passing the football in Cincinnati, and they've added Calvin Ridley. They've added Tony Pollard. They've added about 130 receptions last year between those two combined. And then Bryce Young, they add Deontay Johnson. They have the two early second round picks. And Ian, we got to think they're probably going wide receiver with at least one of those. Your thoughts for which of these two quarterbacks, if you could have one for your dynasty roster, who would it be? And which quarterback do you think has more fantasy points in 2024?
Yeah. So I think to answer both of those questions, I'm going to take Bryce Young. But that's not to say that Will Levis, first of all, they put the wide receivers around him. And Will Levis, essentially, you could think of him just based on his rookie year from what we saw, that this guy plays hero ball. Think of him as a second-year Jameis Winston almost. I mean, that's hopefully we might not get that level of passing volume with Tennessee, although we'll see. It's a new regime. Not totally sure what to expect in terms of volume there. But Will Levis loved to play hero ball. Well, yeah, he had plenty of turnover-worthy plays. He had a ton of big-time throws, according to PFF. So this is somebody who's going to chuck the ball out, and that's basically exactly what you want to see from fantasy. I mean, think of it in the sense that the NFL didn't like Jameis Winston, but in fantasy football, this guy was a monster and then got replaced the next year.
I love that one. Not to interrupt you, but like you can criticize Will Levis, but one thing we can't criticize with Will Levis is that arm strength. It's a ridiculous cannon of an arm, and definitely a guy that can take some downfield shots.
And then in terms of Bryce Young, I mean, this guy got an abysmal situation. When you think about the number one pick this year, the situation they're walking into versus the one that Bryce Young is walking into, it's night and day. So in terms of, you know, getting a fair shot, I would say that Bryce Young didn't get a fair shot. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, Bryce Young had these, you know, underlying metrics that actually look pretty good because he didn't. But that's really hard to do in a situation that was the Carolina Panthers. And we've been spoiled with the CJ Strouds, the Joe Burrows, the Justin Herberts of recent history, that it's hard to realize that quarterbacks, traditionally even elite ones, are producing like elite numbers as a rookie. It typically takes time. Now, Bryce Young was an elite prospect, at least in my process, and probably in most people's, because he was going ahead of the CJ Strouds, sometimes ahead of the Anthony Richardsons, even in fantasy drafts last year. He was an elite prospect for me. And when I look at elite prospects that didn't score 15 points per game as a rookie, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence, another guy who's dealt a bad situation, Justin Fields, Sam Bradford, and Vince Young. Now, I can't speak on Vince Young and Sam Bradford's, you know, ADP or value because we don't have access to that far back. Although Sam Bradford, it's hard to see throughout his career with all the opportunities, decent seasons he had, that he was much lower than Bryce Young's current value. He probably didn't dip too much below that. But if we do want to talk about value, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, who didn't have good rookie seasons, and the points per game prove that. But yet at the end of their second season, both those guys were valued as first round startup picks. So when I'm looking at Bryce Young, sure, there's plenty of downside. He wasn't good as a rookie. But again, his situation's improved. He gets one of the best wide receivers and most underrated wide receivers in the game. You'd have to imagine that they're going to add another one. And the coaching that they add has helped Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield have career seasons. So it's all in the cards for Bryce Young. And he's a former elite prospect where he's going into year two where we can really see what a quarterback has. So Bryce Young, while he's about a six-round startup pick right now, is someone who has the upside by next year to be a top two startup round pick. And the downside, yes, there's clearly downside, but most number one overall picks aren't out of a job after their second season. So the downside likely is plenty fine for the amount of upside that you can get in Bryce Young. So I think Bryce Young's a pretty solid target heading into 2024.
I love that you brought up the Dave Canales, you know, in terms of what he did for Geno Smith, you know, what we saw with Baker Mayfield last year. And Dave Canales was also in Seattle during Russell Wilson's best season as a pro fantasy-wise. So, like, Dave Canales is sort of a quarterback whisperer. I also love what you said about the insulation of number one overall picks. I mean, it's the NFL. When a guy hits that level, they are going to have more and more opportunities to fail, and they also are going to have opportunities to land on with a new starting quarterback job if they burn out in Carolina. Now, Carolina needs Bryce Young to turn it around. And I think the Canales hire was very much a Bryce Young hire. So excited to see where we can go with that one. Ian, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we're diving into it. We are going to rank quarterbacks for Dynasty. We're going to try to get through 24 of them in about 20 minutes. So let's see how we do. Stick with us here at Dynasty Life.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe Package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on MyFantasyLeague and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe. And you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
Yeah, and that Rookie Guide is right around the corner. Ian, you're writing up a quarterback for the guide. Who are tell everybody who you're analyzing for our Rookie Guide.
Yeah, I had a pretty fun time writing a blurb for Jaden Daniels. It was almost too much fun because I had to hit you up, Theo, and be like, I think I might be making this too long. I'm kind of going.
It's different to write for, you know. It's so funny. It's like how the sausage is made type conversation. It's different to write like an article. Like Ian's articles are absolute fire. Check them out. But Ian, you could write if you were like, hey man, I you know, the article's 10 paragraphs instead of 8. Nobody's like, whatever. But for a guide, you got to keep it tight. It's hard to get those words in, man.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to do. It's like, oh, what information do I really need to keep in this thing? But no, it is jam-packed full of information. And I'm excited to see other people's blurbs because, this thing's going to be pretty awesome.
Josh Larkey writing up Troy Franklin. That'll be an interesting one to read. But hey, we're going to get after it right now. We are talking about quarterbacks specifically, and we're going to see where we rank Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and these exciting rookies. But let's go ahead and start out. Let me get my board nice and set. Is there any reason to debate the quarterback one in Dynasty right now? Ian, it's Josh Allen, unless you have, you know, some great argument to make for somebody else.
It's Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I mean, at least when I'm playing Dynasty 2, if I have a number one overall startup pick, it's basically roster ship. You know, do I have more Josh Allen or more Patrick Mahomes? Both guys could light the world on fire. And then, you know, we probably won't spend too much time talking about Patrick Mahomes, but this guy finished as a top 8 quarterback, and we've seen him post 30-point-per-game seasons, just destroy the world. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, both equally fine. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes finishing as QB7 or QB8 last year, despite having what's arguably the worst wide receiver core in the NFL.
And you nailed it. And they went ahead and they signed Hollywood Brown. And on top of Hollywood Brown, I think they're going to use that late first round pick on another wide receiver. I've seen several people projecting them to do so. And if not, I think the second round is a time they'll add a wide receiver. They are not done yet. Like you said, last year they won despite the wide receivers. This year with Rashi Rice, Hollywood Brown, and of course Travis Kelce, and whoever they add in the draft, Mahomes is definitely peaking up. So let's get him out of the way. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes off the board, 1-2. Now quarterback 3, I'm going to throw out a couple of names. Jalen Hurts is kind of the chalk. Lamar Jackson is very appealing for me here. And then we'll throw out the young guys, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud. Those guys are all kind of in contention. I think it's probably Jalen Hurts. Make an argument for anybody else you want to talk about.
Yeah, we've got a whole cluster of guys, and I guess the guy that I'm putting in my rankings as number 3 is CJ Stroud, because what CJ Stroud has in his range of outcomes that the other two in Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts don't quite have right now is the possibility of being the best quarterback we've ever seen. I mean, again, we're talking about a quarterback who the thing that people are getting lost in hindsight is people are talking about right now. They're talking about, well, Houston had, you know, a great situation. They had these wide receivers. Well, no one was talking about Nico Collins being an elite wide receiver until CJ Stroud, a rookie, showed up. No one was talking about Tank Dell, the third round wide receiver rookie, being a stud until CJ Stroud, the rookie quarterback, came around. CJ Stroud had a historic rookie season. I mean, when we're talking about guys that put up the level of production he did as a passer, there's not many names that you can find, at least going back to 2006. The fact that this guy's supporting these weapons, posting what he's doing, and he's going into year 2 with the same offensive coordinator. Yes, he doesn't have the rushing floor that Hurts and Lamar has, and they're a very close 4 and 5 for me. But we're talking about someone who has the possibility of being a Patrick Mahomes. Like, that is within the range of outcomes, and he's still someone that wasn't a non-rusher. He rushed for 2.1 rushing points per game. So for me, and there won't be much pushback if it's Hurts or Lamar here, but I like CJ Stroud as the third quarterback.
I'm okay with it, and we're doing this together, and you're my guest, so we're going to defer to you on this one. I'll also say that C.J. Stroud, the offensive line play in Houston was just okay. And at the end of the day, that'll continue getting better, and they're going to continue adding weapons. Ian, we could be talking about Keenan Allen being a Houston Texan today. They offered that 2025 third rounder for him. A little surprised that Chicago wouldn't just that the Chargers wouldn't just pocket the third rounder instead of taking the fourth rounder. But that's a whole game theory, you know, bird in hand type argument. But let's go ahead and lock in your guy, C.J. Stroud. We have them pretty close. C.J. Stroud is number four for us in our dynasty rankings at Player Profiler. So this is not a huge leap, putting him at three. Then I'm going to say Jalen Hurts. Let's go with him over Lamar Jackson, because Jalen Hurts has just been sensational in terms of dynasty production. He is a little bit younger than Lamar Jackson as well. And I would argue that the weapons in Philly are better than the weapons in Baltimore, despite Baltimore improving in that regard with Zay Flowers heading into year two. Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, kind of forget about it, set it and forget it. Now we're into a conversation where my argument for QB6 would be Anthony Richardson. But let's throw out Joe Burrow into this conversation as well. Which way do you lean for QB6?
I'm going to lean Joe Burrow here. And the reason isn't because Anthony Richardson doesn't have the upside to absolutely destroy the world. He has tremendous upside. I mean, we may not have seen rushing upside to this level, even if we include Lamar Jackson. But again, we're just talking about a four-game sample, and two of them were the only times that he played a full snap share or a full game finishing the game. So the problem that I have with Anthony Richardson, taking him ahead of guys like Joe Burrow or even Justin Herbert, who have proven to put elite production with top five upside in a year-in, year-out basis, and they are both attached to very long-term, highly lucrative contracts. So we have a ton of stability, plenty of floor, and a ton of upside with Burrow and Herbert. We have the upside mix with Anthony Richardson. But my question here is, and again, Richardson would not fall too far below these guys. My question with Anthony Richardson is, we have this amazing rushing upside, this amazing rushing production, but we didn't have high-end passing ability at Florida. In his first season, again, we only got the four games, but there was no high level of passing ability. His PFF passing grade was still below 65, so not great. So then my question becomes, if we go through year two and we get a QB1 season out of Anthony Richardson with some of the best rushing we've seen at the quarterback position, but the passing peripherals still aren't there. He'll be valued very highly. There's no question about that. But who else was valued very highly in year two because of this amazing rushing production, but the passing ability hadn't been shown? Well, that's Justin Fields, who's been plummeting in value ever since he was a first-round startup pick. So as much as I think Anthony Richardson still belongs kind of in these tier of guys, I want the proven stability that still has top five upside. Even if the true upside isn't quite the same as Anthony Richardson's, I'm sacrificing a little bit of that game-breaking ability to have stability and have a much higher floor.
I'll push back on the Justin Fields one. I mean, what we saw from Anthony Richardson in, like, with the two top 5 weeks, to start out the season, he starts out the year QB4, then in week three gives you QB2, just couldn't stay on the field. I agree with you. I think it's a philosophical choice here between Richardson and Burrow. I would argue for Richardson ahead of both of them, just because I don't see Burrow and Herbert giving me a QB1 overall season. A guy who could beat Josh Allen in points per game next year, my lean would be Richardson. But in terms of longevity, sample size, I'll give you Burrow. But let's go ahead and split the difference here. We're going to go Burrow, and then we're going to go Richardson. So we're both a little bit happy. I'll capitulate on the Burrow, and then I'll go Anthony Richardson. Now, before we plug in Justin Herbert, let's throw out Caleb Williams, who is one of the best quarterback prospects we've ever seen. By all accounts, he's going to fall into a better situation next year than Justin Herbert. He's got Justin Herbert's number one target in Keenan Allen, and he's got DJ Moore, and they've got a top 10 pick, and they've got Cole Kmet, and they signed DeAndre Swift. It seems like everything is kind of tailor-made for Caleb Williams. I'll also throw out, we could consider Jordan Love here. We could consider Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray. But for me, it comes down to Herbert versus Williams, just in terms of the pure pedigree between the two of them. Do you want to go Justin Herbert here, or do you want to stand for your guy Williams?
I'm actually cool with either of them. Having both in the same tier, they're both valued very close to each other. Either one is going to be fine with me. I guess if I had a slight lean, it's Herbert. Just because, I mean, if Caleb Williams came in and had the rookie season that Justin Herbert would have, we're talking about Caleb Williams, the top three, top four dynasty startup pick. So just for the fact that he's done it, but at the same time, we're talking about one of the best quarterback prospect profiles we've ever seen. First quarterback to throw for 10 plus adjusted yards per attempt every season as a freshman, sophomore, and junior. And he's going to be just the fourth league winner prospect in my process, joining Cam Newton, who had one of the greatest rookie seasons ever, Robert Griffin III, who had one of the greatest rookie seasons ever, and Kyler Murray, who was a top five dynasty startup pick for the first couple years of his career, and it's now criminally underrated. So you basically cannot go wrong with either one of these guys. In fact, I could talk myself into Caleb Williams over Justin Herbert right now if I needed to.
Yeah, so I have it. We could switch it around here, but I have it Justin Herbert, then Caleb Williams. I'll say this. The other thing about Caleb Williams, I think he's underrated as a runner. I think he's going to be a very effective, opportunistic scrambler. I don't think Chicago is going to design a bunch of, you know, design quarterback runs for him. I think they're going to use him more as a passer. But when he has an opportunity to run the football, he's pretty electric doing so. It has nice speed and he has great instincts. I think I love how you bring up how he went to Oklahoma and he beat out Spencer Rattler as an 18-year-old. And he's out there dominating Texas in the Red River Shootout, goes to USC, wins the Heisman. He was a starter in high school for one of the East Coast powerhouses in Gonzaga as a freshman. So the guy's literally been dominating as soon as he could at the highest possible levels of high school and college football. I think he's got an outside shot in Chicago next year. My bold take is Caleb Williams has, I wouldn't bet on it, but if he gave me good odds, Ian, I'd bet on it, is he could break the record for most touchdown passes as a Chicago Bear. It's a low bar. It's like 29. It would take a special year from Caleb, but I think it's in his range of outcomes. I think he's the best quarterback prospect I've seen since Andrew Luck. That being said, we've seen Justin Herbert give us a QB2 season overall. He still has the relative youth. I think we lean Justin Herbert. Then we have Caleb Williams. So we're through 9 quarterbacks right now. Allen, Mahomes, Stroud, Hurts, Lamar, Jackson, Joe Burrow, Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams. Now, QB10, to me, this is pretty easy. It's Kyler Murray, who gives us the upside and also the past performance. Do you want to argue for somebody else, or are we going Kyler here?
No, I'm fully agreed on Kyler Murray right here. And just to back up your point about Caleb Williams, he's a Konami rusher. It's almost like people are forgetting just how good of a rusher he was in college. I mean, this is somebody who averaged 7 rushing points per game across his collegiate career, it may sound surprising, but if we talk about through their senior years, so just the first 4 years of college, he's within a point per game of Jaden Daniels' rushing points per game. So it's almost as if Caleb Williams is going into this process as a completely underrated rusher. But speaking of rushing and the point you just hit, someone who's been a rusher their entire career, Kyler Murray. And the fact that, yes, his passing peripherals have dipped in each of the last 2 seasons, but you know who's the favorite to land Marvin Harrison Jr. if you were to bet on FanDuel right now?
Arizona
Cardinals. So he could go into a situation where he gets Trey McBride, who was awesome last year, going into his 3rd year. He could get Marvin Harrison Jr. and then whatever else they put around him. And all of a sudden, Kyler Murray could have the best passing seasons he's had in a few years. And this is someone you're fully expecting to put up at least 5 rushing points per game for you. I'm fully on board with Kyler Murray right here.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, almost a no-brainer. And back to your point on Caleb Williams, 27 rushing touchdowns in his college career. Truly elite numbers for him there. So we have a pretty clear-cut tier here. We're through 10 quarterbacks. Now we're starting to get a little interesting because, you know, you have Dak Prescott. You have Jordan Love, you have Trevor Lawrence, and then you also have guys like Jaden Daniel, Drake May, kind of coming up right behind him in the NFL draft. We have a chance that Drake May lands in Minnesota, where he would end up having Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. But to me, I don't think we can push the rookies up. I think this conversation is Jordan Love versus Trevor Lawrence versus Dak Prescott. Which way do you want to go here?
I'll go Jordan Love. because Jordan Love had basically in his first season as a starter has been what we've wanted Trevor Lawrence to be in terms of production. But at the same time, I think Trevor Lawrence is one of the great litmus tests of ball knowing ability, because the people who think that Trevor Lawrence is bad simply aren't looking at the right metrics. And, you know, the comparisons to Daniel Jones are pretty bad faith ones because they throw things like quarterback record in there. They include his rookie season, which to this point, you know, his rookie season, especially heading into his fourth year, is essentially fully irrelevant at this point. So Trevor Lawrence, he, in terms of PFF's expected points per game, he was below his expected points per game, which is something you blame on variance. So I'm cool with Jordan Love here and then following it up with Trevor Lawrence, who is a good quarterback. And I think in year four has a true possibility of proving that he is an elite quarterback in this league.
It's funny with Trevor Lawrence because I think it comes down to like sort of the expectations we had for the team and the offense and the ADP. In terms of points per game, he was almost equal between last year and the previous season. In terms of passing yards, almost completely equal, except we were drafting Trevor Lawrence like QB8. And then two seasons ago, we were drafting Trevor Lawrence like QB15. So he didn't take that next step forward in year three, but we have seen back-to-back 4,000 passing yard seasons. Okay, so the rubber meets the road here, Ian. Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, which way you want to go here in terms of 1-2?
That's tough. I suppose because, you know, if someone's going to use this in, let's say, a dynasty startup, and
does it come down to 24 versus 30?
Yeah, in terms of a dynasty startup, it's probably not in your best interest to go for a Trevor Lawrence or a Dak Prescott over a Trevor Lawrence when the separation, especially early in the draft, in the second round, is almost a half round difference. And that's value you essentially don't want to be just lighting on fire. Like, just from a game theory perspective, if you have the 203 and Trevor Lawrence is the next guy up at ADP, and Dak Prescott's ADP is 211, 212 in a dynasty startup, sure, maybe as just pure player profile, take value out of it, we want Dak. But think about it in this sense. If I'm trading back from the 203 to the 211, 212 in a dynasty startup, I'm looking for some sort of solid value, not nothing. So why would I waste that chance or waste that value gap right there in taking Dak Prescott, even if the player profiler is a bit better for Dak Prescott?
Okay, so we've gotten through sort of the ones we don't really have to argue about. Now it's a little bit of a pick your poison here. Brock Purdy took a huge step forward in year two. He is 24 years old. Of course, he was a seventh round pick, but that's kind of out the window after his performance last year. Plus, you've got Jaden Daniels, you've got Drake May, you've got J.J. McCarthy, you've got Tua Tagovailoa in a great offense in Miami. For me, it comes down to Purdy or one of the rookies. Do we want to go Brock Purdy here, or do we want to push up one of these rookies, Ian?
I'm going to take Jaden Daniels here. And there's a few reasons for it. I mean, first of all, the floor is going to be very high. Like, we're talking about a Konami rusher, as we've talked about. And the draft capital seems to be phenomenal. He's currently the favorite to go second overall.
Yeah. Which,
quick humble brag, February 15th, laid down a plus 175 on Jaden Daniels going second overall. We've completely swapped to a minus 150 on Jaden Daniels. So, I mean, I'm living on a high about placing that one. But
I'm glad you went this way, to be not to interrupt you. I'm glad you went this way because fundamentally, how can I take Brock Purdy over Jaden Daniels? I love Brock Purdy. I have him on some dynasty rosters. It's like found money. But Jaden Daniels, you bring up the Konami code. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could be Lamar Jackson in terms of his rushing ability. This is an easy one. Let's move on. Now, Brock Purdy, Ian, versus and Drake May's not immobile. He can run the football. The guy's an effective runner. He could be used sort of like a Justin Herbert. Some people say Josh Allen. We're not going there. But he could be used like Justin Herbert was as a rookie, effective runner. He's athletic. You got Brock Purdy with the big sample size last year. I think it comes down to one of these two guys for me. I'm going to take both of them ahead of like the Tuas, the Jared Goffs, the Kirk Cousins, all these kind of guys. Which way do you want to lean here, Drake May or Brock Purdy?
Both are close, but I agree with you. Let's take Brock Purdy. And this is somebody people want to be like, oh, his situation is so awesome. You know, he's putting up quarterback one seasons because, you know, his situation around him. Well, guess what's not changing? his situation around him. And for the foreseeable future, it sure looks like he's going to be tied to Kyle Shanahan for a while. And his peripherals are also much better than people think they are.
So let's keep going here. So we have Brock Purdy. And then I think that for me, Drake May, this is about the lowest I would want to rank him. Unless you want to kind of make an argument for somebody else. I mean, you talk about Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, these sort of players. J.J. McCarthy's rising up. We're not going to consider him here. But I think for me, Drake May is going to have the high-end draft capital. He's got the big arm. He's got mobility. We almost took him ahead of Brock Purdy. Why don't we put him in, lock him in right here? Your thoughts?
And my thoughts, too, are that Drake May was the favorite to go the second overall just a month ago. And him and Jaden Daniels both have elite profiles to me. So if Drake May was the one to go second overall, I think especially value-wise, these guys are much closer. They might not even have a Brock Purdy in between them. And I think having a Brock Purdy in between them is probably the biggest value gap or gap in the rankings that they should have between each other. Both are very good profiles. Both will get drafted very high. And both of them, to different extents, have the rushing ability.
So now we are through 16 quarterbacks. And we have Tua Tagovailoa just kind of sitting there. He would be kind of the next man in if you're going to go by kind of, I think, where dynasty startups are going to fall. I'll throw out Jared Goff. I'll throw out J.J. McCarthy. I'll throw out Kirk Cousins based on the landing spot. Where are we at here with your lean with these guys?
It's going to be Tua and then Goff for me. I think those two, as mentioned, pretty similar tier. Well, same tier for me. Both guys have shown that they can be very solid passers and both fit QB2 production and are very likely to have it. And again, people talk about situation with Tua. Well, there's a chance that he gets paid and is most clearly attached to a Mike McDaniel offense for the foreseeable future if this extension gets done. And I think that might even, you know, bump his value up a little bit because, you know, after the playoff game, there was talk, you know, random talk of, you know, imagine Geno Smith in this offense or things like that. If Tua is the one that gets paired to this offense for the foreseeable future, and he has just fine passing peripherals. I mean, he had one of the highest PFF passing grades of all quarterbacks last season. It's going to be Tua for me here and then Jared Goff.
Okay, so we are at 18 and we want to try to get through, you know, about 20 of these guys, Ian. We could try to rip through 24 right now. So why don't we go ahead right now? We have Tua off the board. We have Goff off the board. The next guys that I would consider are J.J. McCarthy, who's going to steam up. He's going to be a top 12 pick. Maybe a guy that is a little bit more of a, we're going to use draft capital a little bit in our process here. He is mobile. He does have a big arm. He's a younger quarterback. We might have to wait on him, but still very appealing as a dynasty asset. And then the opposite is Kirk Cousins, who is older, 35 years old, but insulated by his contract, elite weapons in Drake London, Bijan Robinson. And then we're hoping that he gets Kyle Pitts going again. Those two guys would be my initial lean here. Is there another player you want to throw into the consideration?
Well, I agree with you, and it's fully confidently going to be Kirk Cousins for me here because we talked earlier in the show about him and Goff and that the separation is really just age and that how that affects his dynasty value. Because when we talk about Kirk Cousins, if you like fantasy points, then you like Kirk Cousins, who also you could talk about his age, but he just got signed to a massive four-year extension. So he's going to be the starter for a while. And if we talk about just him producing since he became a full-time starter, 21.5, 21.7, 20.5, 21.3, 19.4, 23, 22.4, 20.2, and last year a career high 23.3 points per game. You show me where the poor season is, and you show me where the signs of decline are. It's not in the contract he just got. It's not in the offense around him, and it's not in his production last year. Kirk Cousins is someone you like quarterback two or quarterback one production in a quarterback two, quarterback three spot on your dynasty rosters. You're going to love Kirk Cousins.
And are we at J.J. McCarthy as QB20, or do we want to argue for somebody else?
J.J. McCarthy's right there, and I also think Bryce Young's not there. I'm very close on the both of them. I want to see J.J. McCarthy. If we're doing it right now, I want Bryce Young, because for the reasons that we talked about earlier, he will be a starter, and there's plenty of upside in his situation and in his prospect profile. With J.J. McCarthy, I still think there's belief that we could be seeing some smoke screens with teams. Do I think he gets drafted in the top 10 at this point? Yes, he's a favorite to do so. But let's not forget that when the season ended, he wasn't a favorite to be in the top 10. And that's the recipe for where you could be talking about guys who the league is kind of blowing smoke, you know, setting these smoke screens for other teams. So until I see that draft capital, because, you know, let's say JJ McCarthy falls to 12, 13, 14. It's pretty clearly for me Bryce Young over JJ McCarthy at that point. So I want to see it before I take him over Bryce Young.
All right, so we're looking to rank three more guys here. I'm going to start throwing out a couple of names, and we're going to talk about kind of which way we're leaning. Deshaun Watson is probably the one going off the board in Dynasty startups first among the players we're going to talk about. I'll throw out Will Levis. I'll throw out Baker Mayfield, who just got a really good contract. I'll throw out Matthew Stafford, who is 36 but playing well. And then I'll throw out the two quarterbacks that I think have an opportunity to get into the first round, but they're not necessarily going to be drafted in the first round. But Michael Penix Jr. would be kind of my preference over Bo Nix. Both of them have their teams that are going to be interested in them. Both, I think, have potential to be, you know, average or maybe a little better than that as NFL starters, but neither one sort of has the ceiling that we see from the other quarterbacks in this class. If I had to pick one with the highest ceiling, it would be Michael Penix. Bo Nix seems to be a little bit more of a game manager in his approach. Which way do you want to go here for our final couple of guys?
Well, I think Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson are probably the two guys right there. They're both locked in starting opportunities. Now, with Deshaun Watson, it's a different case in that we haven't seen the elite production in a couple years now that we were accustomed to seeing with the Houston Texans. But that being said, still plenty locked into a starter spot. The offense around him should be plenty fine. It's a good situation. And same goes for Baker Mayfield, except he's shown success more recently than Deshaun Watson has. And I think for that reason, I'm cool going Baker Mayfield then Deshaun Watson. Because if we're talking about Bo Nix, Michael Penix over Deshaun Watson, first of all, there's no insulation that either of these guys are even going to be starters in their rookie year or even their second year, as they're not locked to go in the first round. And I want a guy that's locked into being a starter and at least has shown that he can have high-end success at the NFL level. So for me, it goes Baker, Watson, and then one of those two guys, or Will Levis, like you just mentioned.
So we're at 23, so we've got to be strong in our take here. Will Levis, who we pretty much know will have it. I've seen the Mason Rudolph people. It's not happening, guys. Will Levis is going to have to fall completely flat on his face for Mason Rudolph to take that job. It's Will Levis versus one of these two rookies in terms of Michael Penix and Bo Nix. I'm okay going Michael Penix ahead of Will Levis, but I'd also be okay just locking in Will Levis here. You are the guest. You get to pick the final one, Ian.
I will lock in Will Levis here. I mean, he's going to be a starter next year, like you said. And what the Titans have done is basically they put all these weapons around him and said, all right, let's see if he's the guy. Or at least that's what it appears to be. And that's not something we could say for Nix and Penix, who, again, aren't first-round locks at this point. And Will Levis has a great situation around him. And as we mentioned, he has a ton of big-time throws. Yes, there's the turnovers, but especially in fantasy football, you want the guy that's – you want the James Winston. How many times are people talking about, oh, my gosh, I wish James Winston was starting for the Saints, not just because I have James Winston, but because I have the weapons that he'd be throwing to versus Derek Carr. That I don't want the game manager, as you mentioned, even if he is locked into a starting spot. In fantasy football, especially when we get down to this level of guys where basically you're trying to find fantasy production that you can fill into your lineups and still have a successful team, it's going to be Will Levis, who, again, could have that Jameis Winston-type season in 2024, and it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, Will Levis, it's an interesting season for him. He's been a best ball target of mine. I'm glad he snuck into our rankings here. So this was so much fun, Ian. I'm going to rip through and let everybody know one more time how we rank these quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, C.J. Stroud at quarterback 3, Jalen Hurts quarterback 4, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams, and Kyler Murray. That's our top 10. Then Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, Drake May, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, J.J. McCarthy. And then our final five were Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, and Will Levis. Ian, we're going to have to bring you back for a fourth time sometime soon, man. Let everybody know where they can find your work.
Yeah, so I started writing for the Player Profiler. You could start finding my articles here. You could also find me on these podcasts that I've absolutely loved doing, and coming back for a fourth time is going to be awesome. And then you can find me on my Patreon that could be found on my Twitter at @dynasty_IM. And yeah, I mean, all these guys we talked about being ranked, I've got all those guys, where they're valued, how their value's fallen, and if I think they're a buy or sell for certain contenders based on that value. So lots of good stuff there. Lots of good stuff on the Player Profiler site. Excited to come back for a fourth time at some point.
And let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, Ian, because you're dropping heat every single day heading up into the NFL draft.
Yeah, you can find me at @dynasty_IM on Twitter. And you can find basically a ton of the stuff that I just talked about, stats that I referenced. I pulled most of those from my Twitter page because it's a lot easier to go back and find it again. So if you want to see that and have those stats, you can find it on my Twitter.
It's about layering the content in different places. Stick with us here at Dynasty Life. I'm going to be joined by Dan Williamson. We're going to do the same show we just did here with the tight end position. And then I'm going to be hitting running back and wide receiver sometime in the next week or two. We're going to cover all four positions and have these Dynasty ranking shows. Check out the show I just recorded with Jax Falcone. Make sure you're following Ian Miller. And we got you covered here at Player Profiler. Enjoy the weekend.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.